Let's turn to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Tonight we're moving one point down on that timeline. There's some in the back. If you've lost yours, if you would like one before you leave tonight, there's some back there, the bigger version of it. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 1, we'll read 1 through 6 there. But Brother Titus, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, and thank you for another day to serve you. And we are thankful that you've given us the salvation, mm-hmm. and you allow us to serve you. Yes. And please help us to give her all to Jesus, because he's given salvation to us. Yes. And without us, we are dead. Mm-hmm. And thank you for the opportunity to be able to witness to people and help us to do that. Yes. And to throw out the lifeline. Yes. And please give Pastor words to say, and please help us to retain the knowledge from your word and gain wisdom from it. In his name I pray.
Amen.
Amen. Revelation 12, and let's read 1 through 6. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Well, if you're following the timeline, the chart that we have, so we were looking at the beginning of the tribulation period, and now we're jumping down to the midpoint, to the 3.5-year point. So we've looked at the two witnesses prophesying for 3.5 years. So now we saw last time that ended, their ministry ended. The Lord allowed them to be killed. 3.5 days later, they're resurrected and taken up to heaven in a cloud. In chapter 11, in verse 11, chapter 11, verse 11, and also 12, verse 11, and after 3.5 days, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven, saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. So that's what we saw last week. That. So a lot of things take place at the 3.5-year point. I just have a small version of that chart with me, but there's a lot of lines of information that take place. Many things are happening at that midpoint. So let's look at it verse by verse in chapter 12 in verse 1. It says, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. This is one reason why we just need to read through the whole Bible. Just keep reading it through, because then we look at things and we say, you know what? I've read something like that before. It was in Genesis 37. You hold your place here in Revelation 12, but let's go back to Genesis 37, where Joseph has his second dream, and he tells his brothers and his father, and they're not too happy with him. In Genesis 37, verses 9 and 10, Verse 9. Speaking of Joseph, it says, and he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the what? The sun and what? The moon and what? The 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? So in verse 9, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars. And then if you compare that once again with Revelation 12:1, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of what? 12 stars. So what's the difference between Revelation 12:1 and 37:9? Okay, 37:9, it was the sun and moon, but only 11 stars. Come to Revelation 12:1, sun and the moon and 12 stars. Well, in Genesis 37, Joseph is telling the dream, and it's hard for him to bow down to himself. Okay, so the stars pictured each of the tribes of Israel. Genesis 37:9, he's having this dream that all of his brothers and his mother and father are bowing down to him. Revelation 12:1. So obviously, Revelation 12:1 is talking about Israel. Okay, so that's clear to us right there. That wonder. Then the rest of the verses here are going to confirm too that this is indeed Israel. But let's go to Revelation 12:2. Okay, and she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. So we know from verse 1 that the she has to be a woman of Israel. She, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. But then verse 3, it kind of leaves this poor woman travailing in pain to be delivered. And we're jumping to something else going on. Verse 3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, what? A great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. So, we know this is referring to the devil right here in this chapter. A look at verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out. That old serpent, called what? The devil. And who? Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So we know in Revelation 12:3, this dragon, this great red dragon, is referring to Satan. And this is probably where passages, where people of the world would get the idea that Satan, how do they picture Satan, the world? He's, what color is he? Red. What does this say? Verse 3, a great what? Red dragon. What does he have? Verse 3, 7 heads and what? 10 horns. Now, usually the world doesn't picture him with 10 horns, but they always picture this red creature with at least 2 horns. The pitchfork is their whole idea. But it's probably where they get the idea of drawing Satan as red and having horns. So we don't have time tonight, but if you go to Ezekiel chapter 1 and Ezekiel chapter 10, we'll find that Satan is a fallen cherub angel. And the face, Ezekiel calls this face a calf face. And in Ezekiel 10, he calls it the cherub face. So he realizes there. So when you have like Aaron making a golden calf, what is he doing? I mean, he was breaking the second of the Ten Commandments, but more and worse even than that is he's making a golden calf. That's the major face of the cherub angel. And, oh my, you know what? When we quit serving God, who are we serving? The devil. The devil. When they forsook worshiping the true and the living God, what did they often make? Golden what? Calves. Golden calves. Forsake the true and the living God. They're making idols as to Satan, of the fallen cherub angel. So a good lesson to us. So also in Revelation chapter 20, once again, we find that same description of Satan. Revelation 20, verse 2. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is called who? The devil, and who? Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. So he's got all these different names. Dragon, devil, Satan, serpent. In the Garden of Eden, he came as a serpent to tempt Eve. It's interesting with China, on their calendar, they have a year of the serpent, a year of the dragon. Is it any wonder that they have persecuted Christians so severely all these years, killing them, torturing Christians, bulldozing down churches, tearing down crosses? Is it any wonder? That's who they're dedicated to. You know, Haiti has been such a poor nation for so many years. But Brother Wall told us when he was down there the first time that back years ago that the Haitians dedicated their nation to voodoo, to demonism. And look at how poor it is today. Haiti used to be a country that was rich, like in rubber and other things. And now it's like a desolation. Brother Wall told us down there, when we were down there at that time anyway, one of the ways they could earn money was by selling charcoal. So what would some of them do? Some of them would cut down trees on their little piece of property, trees that would produce things, whether it's mangoes or all kinds of fruit, grapefruit, I believe oranges. But people would cut down those trees and make charcoal out of it. So like, okay, you're cutting down something that's providing you food and income, if you can sell those things. You're cutting it down for a one-time payment for charcoal. It's like no knowledge. And that's what happens when people lose the fear of God. They don't have wisdom. That's what's wrong with America. Notice with me in Proverbs 9. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. Sometimes people say, what is wrong with our leaders? Well, it's this right here is what's wrong. Proverbs 9 and verse 10. Proverbs 9, 10. The what? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. We don't have wisdom because we've thrown out the Bible. We've thrown out the Bible out of government, out of schools. And so we make foolish decisions. So we need to get back to the fear of God in our land. Let's go back then to Revelation 12. So we've covered the first two verses there. The first verse is talking about Israel. The second verse, we left this dear lady in pain and travail of childbirth. But verse 3, it's showing what else is going on. And it's Satan. He's at work. Well, what is he doing? Verse 4, Revelation 12, 4. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Well, let's take the first half of the verse there. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. Now, some people believe this is how many angels Satan took with him when he rebelled against God. That may be. I just I don't have other scriptures that I can confidently confirm that. So it may be true. It says he drew a third part of the stars of heaven. We don't know how many angels fell with him. How many angels followed him on his tail going against God? I don't know. I'm not sure on that one. And he said it did cast them to the earth. Before we get to the last half of verse 4, though, I want to back up to something in verse 3 that I kind of skipped over here. In verse 3, the last half of the verse, speaking of the red dragon, so speaking of Satan, it says having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. Now, what are these heads and horns and crowns? Let's look at Revelation 17. Revelation 17, verse 9. Revelation 17, 9, and let's read through verse 14. So Revelation 9 through 14. Verse 9. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The 7 heads are what? 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth. So in verse 9 here, Rome and its 7 hills, and there's other cities actually that sit on 7 hills or 7 mountains as well. But verse 10, and there are 7 kings, 5 are fallen, and 1 is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the 8th, and he is of the 7, and goeth into perdition. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are what? 10 kings. Which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour, what? With the beast. So these are not kings yet, but 1 hour with the beast. So these are kings that are going to give their power to the Antichrist. Now, does that make you think about anything? It makes me think of COVID. It makes me think of it because leaders were giving their power to, at one point, the CDC. It was like, I mean, we had governors and mayors of cities giving the power of their own people over to another entity, like the CDC or someone else, and putting restrictions on their own people. Even though their own people many times didn't want what they were trying to do to them, but they did it anyway by stating a state of emergency or declaration of disaster. You know, in the message this morning, I forgot, Brother Bob brought it up after the service, but the moon in the sky, the moon is the same size as the sun, but the sun is 400 times bigger than the moon, but the sun is that much farther away than the moon. So in the sky, to us, they both appear the same diameter, even though the sun is way larger, but just the miracle of God. But that's why there can be a full eclipse. That's why the moon can stop the sun from shining, because the great distance, they're the same size in the sky. That was brought out. And another thing that I failed to bring out, and I'll just slip my mind after thinking about that. These declarations of emergencies and disasters. I forgot to tell you this morning that there are all kinds of states that have declared state of emergencies for tomorrow. Texas, and many, many, many counties in Texas have declared already a state of emergency and a state of disaster. Alabama, Ohio, certain counties in New York. I don't know if the whole state, but certain counties in New York have declared a state of disaster, a state of emergency. And it's like, What is going on? I've never heard of an eclipse where someone declared a state of emergency and a state of disaster, giving themselves powers that they don't normally have. Why? Because it's a state of emergency. It's a state of disaster. All kinds of counties have given themselves that power, governors, mayors, and it made me think of COVID. That's exactly what happened during COVID. And now, just recently, I can't remember what it was, but there's been another court case that someone else during COVID took this certain power that was unconstitutional to take. And but it's just, after all this time, is now playing out in the courts. And it just, I forgot to tell you that this morning. That's what's going on tomorrow. So people will have powers that they don't normally have, sometimes to the detriment of their own people. And that's exactly what we're looking at here with the Antichrist. These kings are going to give their power over to the Antichrist. Oh, our dear Canadian brothers and sisters in Christ up there, it is getting bad. Their prime minister just is bent on wicked, vile promotion of sodomy and such like, and not being able to say anything, even online, against that. And these people are taking power against their own people. So you can imagine what it's going to be like in the tribulation period. These kings are going to give their power over to the Antichrist, whether their people want it or not. Do you think there were any people in Germany that didn't want Hitler to have all the power he took? I'm sure there were many of them. I know there are many in Canada that are trying to get a different leader this next time. France is another place. There are many, many people that feel like their leaders are taking power that against them, against their own people. Germany has felt that way against their prime minister as well, the people. So this in Revelation 12, in verse 3, seven heads, ten horns, seven crowns. These are referring to Satan's kings that are willing to give themselves over to him during the tribulation period to the detriment of their own nations and of their own people. So now let's go back to verse 4, Revelation 12, 4, the last half. So we see, why did we leave this poor woman in pain and travail having a baby? Why did we go on this rabbit trail? Well, it really wasn't a rabbit trail because the last half of verse 4 tells us why this is so. And the dragon stood before who? The woman. What woman? The woman which was ready to what? To be delivered. Why is he standing before her? For to devour her child as soon as it was born. We know what this is talking about. We know now that it was Satan standing before the Virgin Mary, the young lady of Israel, about ready to have the Messiah, and Satan wanted to devour the Lord Jesus Christ the moment he was born. And so now we know why there was no room in the inn. Now we know why no one was willing to give up their room. Well, we know why he was born out in the stable. We know why Herod then later came after, wanted to kill him, and why God told Joseph to flee to Egypt. We know who was behind all that. It was Satan. He wanted to devour the child Jesus. Now then we go to verse 5, Revelation 12 and verse 5. So she brought forth a man child. Oh, now who might that be? Who was to what? Rule all nations with a rod of iron. Ah, another reason they're going to keep reading through the Bible continually. That's another prophecy. who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And we'll wait to read the last part there. Let's go to Revelation 19. Revelation 19 and verse 13. So we know that it was Satan, the red dragon, Satan, the devil, the serpent, standing before Eve, ready to devour her child, ready to devour the Son of God, the one that was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Revelation 19, verse 13, and let's read 13 through 16. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it, that with it, he should smite the nations, and he shall what? Rule them with what? A rod of iron. So that's a reference to the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. So then in verse 5, back in Revelation 12, 5, so her, she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. That's Jesus. And her child was caught up where? Unto God and to his throne. Now, what might that be talking about? The resurrection. We just come through the resurrection Sunday. Her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Now, with prophecy, many times, between one prophecy and another, there will be great spans of time. So, when Jesus was born, God didn't immediately take him right up to heaven. We know he lived approximately 33 years. So we know there was a space of time between his birth and being caught up to heaven. But prophecy is often like that. Prophecy is often like looking at a mountain range. You see a mountain, the closest one to you, and then you see a mountain behind it. And from your perspective, you can't tell that that mountain behind it might be 30 miles away from that mountain, or more, 100 miles. The mountains are so huge, it's hard to judge distances until you get up on the first mountain and you think, whoa, it's quite a ways to that next mountain there. That's the way prophecy often is. We don't have time tonight, but Peter talks about a prophecy out of Joel, saying it being fulfilled. Well, the first part of it was, but the second part that he quoted would be on in the tribulation time. So that's often how prophecy is. And the same with that verse right there. So clearly talking about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice in, along with that, if you continue to hold your place, Revelation 3:20. Just referring to how he was, that verse said he was caught up to the Father's throne. Revelation 3:20-21. Verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit where? With me. In what? In my throne. Even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in what? His throne. Have you seen those? I don't know if they're new. I guess recently we had been looking at some furniture, and I guess I didn't realize it, but there are some really big chairs now. They're like one and a half chairs. Or, I don't know, maybe almost two. But it's not a love seat. It's not that wide. But they're huge. Can you imagine one day this verse here, sitting down with Jesus in his throne? Can you imagine that? I can imagine falling down before his throne, but it's hard for me to fathom Jesus saying, Mike, come up here and sit with me. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine his love? I mean, we are so unworthy. It's hard to imagine, but that's what he says, that we can sit with him in his throne. We talk about Sunday school humility. I mean, here our Savior. I mean, when Solomon's mother came into his presence, what did he do? He had a seat set at his right hand, but he didn't say, "Mom, come on up here, sit with me. You know, we'll squeeze in. Come on, Mom, sit right up here with me." No, it was the right hand. The right hand is the place of honor. But he had a different chair set for her. But Jesus, he's not going to say, "Hey, angels, set a chair for Mike. Set a chair for you." No, come up with me in my throne. Wow, you talk about love. It's just amazing. So then we go back to Revelation chapter 5 and verse 6 there. "And a woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Now that's the same as we saw with the two witnesses. They're going to prophesy that long, but in the first 3.5 years. Now this is the same amount of time in the second 3.5 years. So we talked about this on our calendar. It comes out 17 days short of 3.5 years, or 2.5 weeks short. We talked about the two witnesses being set up. Then there's the Jewish calendar, which goes by cycles of the moon, which you look at the Jewish calendar, and I did, it's like 1 month is 30 days, and the next month is 29, and the next month is, it'll say 29 or 30, depending on the moon, and the next one will say maybe 30, and the next one will say maybe 29, and the next one may say 29 or 30. So even and on the Jewish calendar, in the year that of a 19-year cycle, in the third year, in the sixth year, in the eighth year, and the 11th year, and the 14th year, and the 17th year of every 19-year cycle, an entire month is added to the calendar. I mean, we have a leap year, one day we add to 1 month, or take away, whatever. But the Jewish calendar, all those different years, you're adding an entire month. So they have 13 months every 3rd, 6th, 8th, 11th, 14th, 17th, 19th year. Okay. So whichever way you figure it, this number allows for a little time between the 3.5 years. Now, I just suggested an idea of the first 3.5 years, that 2.5 weeks or 17 days might be at the beginning for allow a little time for those two guys to be saved and to start prophesying. Now in the end, as I mentioned, if you look at your chart, there's a lot happening at the 3.5 year mark. So maybe some of these days are just before his people, the Jews, are protected before the pressure comes down on them. Or maybe it also allows a little bit of time at the end of the 3.5 years for all the judgments. Matthew 25, the judgment of the nations. So whether you go with our calendar or the Jewish calendar, there's some extra time there according to these days. Now, if the Jews had, if they had just a straight 30-day calendar, 12 months, then that would work out exactly at these days. But their calendar isn't. Their calendar isn't every year just a 12 months, 30 days. It's 29, 30. Going back and forth. So, but anyway, Revelation 12:6. The point is this: God is going to protect His people. It says, "And the woman fled into the wilderness." What woman is this? Well, it goes right back to verse 1. It's Israel. And God is going to protect them. Now, why are they going to need special protection in the last 3.5 years? Well, we're going to have to see it next time. That's when Satan is cast out of the heavenly realm. And he's cast down to earth and he's having great wrath because he knoweth that he hath a short time. And so God protects his people. Without that protection, surely Satan would have killed every one of them in those 3.5 years. So God is it protects his own. Notice in Romans 11. Romans chapter 11. Romans 11, verse 1. It's really discouraging and distressing to see how many professing Christians are taking sides against Israel. That's a foolish position to take. Romans 11, 1. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am what? An Israelite. Of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin, God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. And he's not going to. He's not going to turn his back on Israel. Oh yes, he will punish them in measure, and he has been. But he's not going to turn his back. And all the promises of Israel are not for us, the church. That land is not our land. That's Israel's land. So please don't take a position against Israel. That's a position that will bring judgment. So God, in Revelation 12:6, God is preparing a place to protect the Jewish people in the last 3.5 years. And you know what? God will also not forsake us. Notice in Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Oh, we see in the scriptures that people are going to forsake one another. Families are going to turn against their own family. People will turn against their own nation, their own friends. They'll eat their own children. They'll eat their own husbands. They'll eat their own wives. It's horrible, horrible things. But God will never forsake us. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will what? Never leave thee, nor forsake thee. That's God's promise. It's his promise to Israel, and it's his promise to us as Christians. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your great promise that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. And Father, we are so unworthy as we think of the Lord Jesus' promise that one day he will have us come and sit with him in his throne. What an amazing thing that you would forgive us, that you would die for us, that you would cleanse us from our sin, that you would totally justify us as righteous and allow us to sit with you in your throne. And Father, our hearts go out tonight to the millions in this world that are chasing after darkness and sin, and they don't know you, and their lives are empty. They're trying to fill their lives with things on earth here, but we know it's not going to work. Only you can satisfy. Only you can forgive our sin. Only you can take it away. Only you can take away that guilt that is upon us. Lord, thank you for your great grace. Lord, please use us this week to reflect your glory to this dark world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our